about the concept of rest, find a rhythm for your life. And probably the religious concept for that would be like Sabbath. God created the world and on the seventh day rested, and then turns around and he tells us on the seventh day, I want you to take a Sabbath, a rest. And I think a lot of times when we look at these laws or rules that God has for our lives, we think he's imposing them on us, like to like harm us or hold us back from like doing what we want to do or pursuing what we want to pursue. And I heard a teacher one time, he said, the only reason God gives us commandments, they're not conditional for his love. They're confirmation of his love. Like, you don't put rules on people that you don't care about. And so the only reason that he would say, hey, I want you to rest, is because he cares about us. He's good and he wants good for us. The idea of rest, though, I guess I only speak for myself as a man, and I'm sure this applies to women too, but we have a hard time resting. Or we do the extreme. We either rest all the time and we're lazy, or we work. And that's usually, you know, the language you use around it was, well, there's so much to do and I have to do it. It's my responsibility. And if I don't do it, it won't get done right. And people are counting on me. And that all may be true. And that's actually, you know, if you're playing a short game, I just use a golf metaphor, which I apologize for that. If you're playing a short game, you can do anything short game. But long term, it will catch up to you. It's early June right now, and I'm about to go on a sabbatical. This one is different than 3 years ago. Earlier this week, I was forced to go on sabbatical. And I sat in this room with the lead team and the elders, and they sat me down. And they said, you're exhausted. You're tired. You're unhealthy. And it's coming out sideways. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. And I can do this. And they went, no, this isn't, you know, optional. This is, we're going to pass a rule. And for the next 6 months, I was off site. I make jokes about it and say I was put in timeout or, you know, sabbatical jail or whatever that is. But all through scripture, you find God saying, okay, I need to take you out of here and put you over here until you pay attention to me. And that's what sabbatical ended up being. The first 2 months were wrestling with emotions. The next 2 months were like dealing with a lot of broken inside. And then the next 2 months were about healing and re-entry. I've talked about sabbatical quite a bit, and I don't want to always talk about it, but it was one of the most formative times of my life. My big takeaways from sabbatical were, my identity is not my job. Like, I think I'll probably, you know, in the next 5-6 years, I'll probably really seriously look at retiring. And that used to cause a panic in me when anybody would ask me, what are you going to do after Flatirons? I'm like, why did you see something? What's wrong? But it's like, that's not true. I love this place. I love it. Outside my family, outside my relationship with God and my family, I love this church. I love my job. I love my career. I love what I get to do. It's not my identity anymore. My value doesn't come from all the things that you measure that go with my job. The second thing is, I'm not in control. I try to control. I'm a control freak. Ask anybody that knows me, is I try to control everything around me. I try to control outcomes. I try to control performance. I try to control people. I control everything, because I feel like if I'm in control, then I won't get hurt. At least I have the greatest assurance, if I'm running everything, then if I get hurt, it's my own fault, but nobody's going to hurt me. All right. So I have to run everything. And then the third thing is, the most important things in my life are Jesus and my wife. And then down the list is my kids and my grandkids and my friends and my relationships and working out and all my hobbies and things like that. But, at the end of the day, it's just Jesus and Robin. Eventually just be Jesus, for both Robin or I. The control part is what really, really is exhausting. Because you control it because you're trying to get your value from it. And when you step away, and I think this is one of the reasons that God said, he doesn't think that after 6 days you're going to be exhausted. I'm really not. All right. I think he says, step away, because I run the universe, not you. I've got this. You need to leave margin in your life for me to do what only I can do, but also to spend time with me so that you can really run after the other 6 days. And if you ignore that long enough, eventually, if God is good and wise, He'll sit you down, right? And he'll do that through a lot of different things. A relationship will blow up because in your exhaustion, you weren't paying attention to it and you didn't see it because you're not a bad person. You're just distracted because you're tired and running after everything else. And then that relationship will say, time out. I have a really good friend who's going through some stuff with his kids right now. One of his kids, everything seemed fine. They were busy running everywhere. And then she took some pills and now she's in a hospital. And now all of life is screeched to a halt. And we have to pay attention to this now. It's the same thing with health. It's like, hey, I know I need to get to that and I will get to that someday. And we'll pay attention to that someday. And then you start getting a chest pain or you start getting migraines or whatever that is. And your body says, I told you we needed to rest. Now will you pay attention to me? And I think it's the same thing with God, is that if God is good, I'm not saying that migraines and your kids overdosing and heart attacks are a good thing. But I think that God uses those things to say, now will you listen to me? Will you pay attention to me? I was talking to a friend who at a certain point in his life ended up in jail, ended up in solitary for several months. And he described it as a pit. And that's where he first started paying attention to God. Now, do I have your attention? So rest, God commands it because he knows that we need it. He doesn't need it. He knows that we need it, and we can rest either voluntarily and go for a long time, or we can go for a long time and then collapse. And that's what I learned. Without rest, without sabbatical, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. Like if those elders and lead team had not sat me down 3 years ago and said, you're going to rest, You're going to look at some stuff. You're going to be quiet. You're going to go away from your job. You're going to spend time with your wife. If they had not done that, again, I don't have a crystal ball, but sometimes I sit and go, well, where would that have led? Because I was running over people. I was destroying people. I was ignoring parts of my family. I was working too hard. Probably drinking too much. I've never said that publicly. I was angry all the time. And God stepped in and went, we're going to take a time out because he loved me. The most loving thing that you can do for your family is not work harder and provide more stuff. It's be available to them in the healthiest form that you can be, to be the dad, to be the husband, to be the friend, to be the leader that God designed you to be. And you can't do that running on fumes. You just can't. If you love your family, rest, right? If you love your wife, rest. If you love yourself, rest. And in our jacked up brains, we think, if I love my family, if I love my wife, if I love myself, I'll work harder and do more. And then a day will come when you will hit a wall. And here's what you're thinking right now. Yeah, I won't. I won't. Right. Then the wall will hit you. That's just reality. Earlier, on another podcast, I was talking about kind of comparing the disciplines, like of all the parts of our life, to like running a marathon. The one thing that I learned when I was training for a marathon is the water stops are very important. Don't skip a water. So I'm not thirsty in the first mile or two. Don't skip the water break. Right. And eventually, cause I was a kind of a novice on that. I got to the point I'm running through Chicago and it was like, I run the block, I walked the intersection, because if I just kept on trying to run, I was not going to finish the race. And it's the same thing is the healthiest thing I can do for myself, for Robin, for my family and for Flatirons is to take a few weeks off in the summer. That really sounds like a luxury. I'll be even honest with you. I've built margin into my life right now where after Sunday, when I'm done teaching, I'm out of pocket. Monday, I work offsite. I'm not available to staff. I'm usually writing and resting. Tuesday, that day is available to me too, to write and rest and plan and pray and study. Wednesday, I'm in the office all day, and they book me out for meetings all day long. Thursday morning, I'm available to anybody who needs me. It's usually booked up with meetings. Thursday afternoon, we do a full run through of the service from top to bottom. And then Thursday by 4 o'clock, I'm out the door, and I'm unavailable Friday and Saturday until I walk back into the building on Sunday. I felt with a lot of guilt around that. But it was more about insecurity. I have to be at every meeting. Everybody expects me to be at every meeting. I have to plan everything. I have to check everything. I have to choose everything. And it actually kind of suppressed all the leaders under me from rising up. Now I'm not in nearly as many meetings, and the meetings are better. I'm not as in many staff meetings and gatherings, and our staff is healthier because leaders are rising up and they're learning to do things and mature. It's the same with your kids. There's a point in your life where you have to be really, really, really involved, and then a point where you have to back off and go, it's your decision. And then you have to correct it if it's wrong, but eventually they're going to graduate. They're going to get married. They're going to have their own house, and then they have to have it figured out. And if you have taught them the right pace of being involved and then backing off, that's the best thing that you can hand your family. I'm going to be kind of out of pocket, going to pre-record some stuff and release it over the next few weeks. I won't be corresponding. I'm turning comments off because some of you are just mean and I don't have to listen to you on vacation. Because I don't really like you. I should do a whole podcast on you all. I'm going to do a podcast and just talk to all the haters out there, also known as cowards. Anyway, but that's not this podcast. Right now, Rob and I are going to sign off. We're going to spend some time with my family's coming into town. We're going to spend some time in the cabin. I'm going to be cutting wood, sawing wood, doing some construction projects. Rob and I are going to go out of town for our anniversary. And I'll close with an anniversary story in just a second. And then I'm pouring myself into some schoolwork, and I'll be back later in July. Last story. This year, Rob and I will be married 38 years, right? On our 25th anniversary, a couple here at Flatirons asked us what we're going to do for our 25th anniversary. And I was like, I don't know. She goes, if you could go anywhere, where would Rob want to go? Well, she'd want to go to a beach. I'm like, okay, well, what beach? And I was like, I don't know. And they threw out Costa Rica. And I was like, whoa, that's not us. And they went, whoa, let us set it up for it. They set it up for us. They paid for it. They sent us to Costa Rica. And so Rob and I went for our 25th anniversary to Costa Rica. And I'm sitting by the pool on like day three, and I got really angry. And I was like, what are you thinking about? I went, I'm just really kind of pissed off right now. She goes, why? I went, people do this. She goes, what? I said, go on vacation. I was raised in this Christian mentality that, you know, that was a waste of time and a waste of money. It was selfish for people to go off on vacations. I went on mission trips with my church and kind of that vacation, or I took 700 kids in 14 buses on spring break and called that vacation because I got to take my kids with me. And those weren't vacations. Robin and I, for the first time, it took us 25 years to figure out that we were worth investing in. We were worth investing in. And somebody else had to point it out to us and pay our way. And since that time, Robin and I will always do something to invest in us. We're going to rest together. We're going to play together. And work knows, don't call, don't email, don't text. Even if somebody dies, I can't make them undead. So I can find out about it when I get home. There are a few exceptions to that. But the general rule is leave me alone. Right now, my buddy Jesse is on vacation. Right. And the only time we have corresponded is he's in the Holy Land, where I was just in the Holy Land. And I saw this. Did you see this? And hey, stop by this shop over there and just have a good time. No shop talk, no planning, no checking in, rest. This summer, I don't know what your life looks like, but if you can find an intentional time to take a breath and rest, you have to go to Costa Rica. You have to get on an airplane and go anywhere. But just to intentionally take a breath and say, I don't have to control that today. It might be a mess when I get back, but I'm playing a long game here with my wife, with my kids, with my friendships, with my health, and with my job. And if I don't take a breath, I mean, if Jesus, over and over, Jesus would say, I need to take a breath, and he went to a lonely place and reconnected with his Father. If Jesus needed a Sabbath, if Jesus needed a sabbatical, if Jesus needed a breath, then you and I do too. So get some rest. That's an order from your pastor.